Chapter 2. Eventually they entered into a dark region where, from a careening building, a dozen gruesome doorways gave up loads of babies to the street and the gutter. A wind of early autumn raised yellow dust from cobbles and swirled it against 100 windows. Long streamers of garments fluttered from fire escapes. In all unhandy places there were buckets, brooms, rags, and bottles. In the street, infants played or fought with other infants or sat stupidly in the way of vehicles. Formidable women with uncombed hair and disordered dress gossiped while leaning on railings or screamed in frantic quarrels. Withered persons, in curious postures of submission to something, sat smoking pipes in obscure corners. A thousand odors of cooking food came forth to the street. The building quivered and creaked from the weight of humanity stamping about in its bowels. A small, ragged girl dragged a red, bawling infant along the crowded ways. He was hanging back, baby-like, bracing his wrinkled, bare legs. The little girl cried out,
"Ah, Tommy, come on! There's Jimmy and Father. Don't be pulling me back."
She jerked the baby's arm impatiently. He fell on his face, roaring. With a second jerk, she pulled him to his feet, and they went on. With the obstinacy of his order, he protested against being dragged in a chosen direction. He made heroic endeavors to keep on his legs, denounce his sister, and consume a bit of orange peeling which he chewed between the times of his infantile orations. As the sullen-eyed man, followed by the blood-covered boy, drew near, the little girl burst into reproachful cries.
"Ah, Jimmy, you's been fighting again."
The urchin swelled disdainfully.
What the hell, Meg? See?
The little girl upbraided him.
"You's always fighting, Jimmy, and you knows it puts mother out when you's come home half dead, and it's like we'll all get a pounding."
She began to weep. The babe threw back his head and roared at his prospects.
What the hell? Cried Jimmy. "Shut up, or I'll smack him out, see?"
As his sister continued her lamentations, he suddenly swore and struck her. The little girl reeled and, recovering herself, burst into tears and quaveringly cursed him. As she slowly retreated, her brother advanced, dealing her cuffs. The father heard and turned about.
"Stop that, Jim! Do you hear? Leave your sister alone on the street. It's like I can never beat any sense into your damned wooden head."
The urchin raised his voice in defiance to his parent and continued his attacks. The babe bawled tremendously, protesting with great violence. During his sister's hasty maneuvers, he was dragged by the arm. Finally, the procession plunged into one of the gruesome doorways. They crawled up dark stairways and along cold, gloomy halls. At last, the father pushed open a door and they entered a lighted room in which a large woman was rampant. She stopped in a career from a seething stove to a pan-covered table. As the father and children filed in, she peered at them.
"Hey, what? Been fighting again, by God!"
She threw herself upon Jimmy. The urchin tried to dart behind the others, and in the scuffle, the babe, Tommy, was knocked down. He protested with his usual vehemence because they had bruised his tender shins against a table leg. The mother's massive shoulders heaved with anger. Grasping the urchin by the neck and shoulder, she shook him until he rattled. She dragged him to an unholy sink and, soaking a rag in water, began to scrub his lacerated face with it. Jimmy screamed in pain and tried to twist his shoulders out of the clasp of the huge arms. The babe sat on the floor watching the scene, his face in contortions like that of a woman at a tragedy. The father, with a newly laden pipe in his mouth, crouched on a backless chair near the stove. Jimmy's cries annoyed him. He turned about and bellowed at his wife.
"Let the damned kid alone for a minute, will you, Mary? You're always pounding him.